Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Nutcracker Syndrome podcast. If you have listened to other episodes or you were here just to learn about ketamine-assisted therapy, I'm happy to have you here. My name is Simone. I'm excited that season two is up and underway. I'm also excited that I am on the precipice of my ketamine-assisted therapy, which is a modality, a mental health modality that my psychiatrist has heavily recommended that I do. I am her quote unquote most complex case, which is both validating and also like, meh, I don't know how I feel about that. So for this intro episode, I simply just kind of wanted to talk about what a ketamine assisted therapy is, at least what I've told the sessions are going to be like with the psychiatry clinic that I'll be going to, what my goals are, prep work I've been doing leading into it. And then my hope, this is flexible, is that after each ketamine session, I will record a episode to tell you how the session went, what were some of my downloads, how I'm feeling, so that in total there will be seven, maybe eight, maybe an outro episode, but that I will have one recording per ketamine-assisted therapy session. However, I know as you get into things, I'll be flexible with that. I don't know if after my first session I'll be out for the count for a couple days. Who knows? So to start, I have maybe some of you all have been talking about, have heard ketamine-assisted therapy, you've been curious about it. And what it is it's ketamine that is assisted, it's given, it's dispensed to you in a controlled environment. And that controlled environment is not around a fire with your friends on a Saturday night. It's not at a EDM festival, you know. This is just a different format. It is in a psychiatry clinic where you are monitored the entire time that they are administering the drug. And what I've been told is that in the research, and I do believe this is pretty the same across all psychiatry clinics that do ketamine-assisted therapy, is that it's a total of six sessions across 4 weeks to increase the efficacy of the mental health modality. And so I went ahead from the jump. I called, I'm interested in this. My psychiatrist has recommended me. I didn't need a referral, which was nice. So I don't know if that's something you might need for a respective ketamine-assisted therapy clinic where you are at. I would say I would definitely vet where you are going. The only reason why I feel comfortable going here, and when I say comfortable, I'm still nervous, is because my psychiatrist, who has worked in the health space doing psychiatry, has known the individual that I'm going to go be working with, and this individual has been doing it for a long time. So that's why I feel comfortable going into a nerve-wracking ketamine-assisted therapy with the amount of mental health bullshit I got going on. My first session is this upcoming Friday, so I am recording this on a Wednesday, so 2 days away. They have scheduled me for 3 hours for the first session, and then all the sessions after are 2 hours, although they told me that after the first session, especially after the second, you might not need the 2 hours the entire time. We just like to have it scheduled for you. So that's kind of nice to know. So I'm excited. I called, I told them I wanted to do it. I initially scheduled the first three, and then I've called to follow up. I needed to reschedule another, and I was like, hey, let's just go ahead and get all six down on the on the calendar, because you need somebody to drive you to and drive you back. And so I wanted to make sure that Kyle, who's going to be taking me to and from, had it on his calendar because he's got his work schedule. So something to think about is like to ask somebody, hey, could you commit to do this for me, with me, for six total sessions in a month time frame? Some of the so again, I got everything inked. I've been doing some prep work leading into it. I have just singular generational trauma. Like, I have my own just life trauma. I was diagnosed with CPTSD when I was 27. I have ADHD, ADD, so now I'm on stimulants and was just diagnosed with that as of 2025. So I'm a statistic of women that are diagnosed later. And so I have just my own life trauma, but I have got generations upon generations upon millennia of generations of trauma as well on both sides of my family. So, a lot of my prep work has not just been my own medical health trauma. It has been when I'm doing my prep work, which is meditations, journaling, yoga, to do some somatic work, some witchy style rituals that I like to do as well. There has been a lot of ancestral stuff coming up. So what I'm most nervous about leading into this ketamine therapy is I don't know what's going to happen. I had a 5-MeO experience in Mexico that was shaman guided in the beginning of 2023. And that was a very massive shift for me, but when the 5-MeO experience happened and I did it with a couple other friends, they had these very like beautiful, colorful, geometrical experiences, and mine was just getting sucked into a black hole. So I don't, the first 2 to 3 minutes of you being unconscious essentially when this happens. So I'm a little nervous going into ketamine therapy because I don't know how much is it going to be similar to my 5-MeO experience. I do know that 5-MeO is a more potent drug. It's the medicine of the toad. So it's a little bit of that. Like I had a wonderful experience with 5-MeO. It opened up a lot of things for me, but it was a lot. And so we'll see how ketamine is. I've been doing a lot of meditations, just easy self-guided stuff. I am versed in that. I teach it in the classes that I teach with sports psychology. I've been journaling a lot. I do a lot of my journaling is tethered to, so when I say I do witchy style rituals, I have oracle cards, I got tarot cards. I've been using my oracle deck. It's specifically a cannabis derived one, a cannabis informed one, which has been beautiful. I've been using cannabis. Kyle, my partner, has been in cannabis for 10 years. He grows cannabis organically, which is a major, major difference from what you get at a rec shop. I have this one. It's called Dakini. I need to give a shout out to Derek as well. This is a strand that comes from him. He has handed it over to Kyle for him to now be the nurturer of this particular cannabis plant. And I call it my therapy. Cannabis. It is so this particular oracle deck that I have is cannabis driven, very, and so it teaches you how to use cannabis in a very ceremonial way because that's how a lot of indigenous populations did use it. It's been extremely powerful for me. So a lot of my journaling prompts will come from those cannabis oracle sessions where I just get all these major downloads. So I've been doing a lot of downloads. I do feel like my ancestors, I know my higher self with a capital S is going to be with me through this. I know it's time for me to do this. I'm still nervous. I have started yoga back recently. It's been a full year since I've been able to be fully kind of back into my body since my auto transplant. I had the hernia repair, as some of you might know from previous episodes, that happened 10 months after my auto transplant. I had a kind of a offshoot ADHD medical tangent in with an ear, nose, and throat doctor. I got my septoplasty and turbinate reduction since my out-of-pocket max and deductible were met because I am financially resourceful. But I'm finally able to do yoga again. I've been able to come back into my body, get some somatic downloads. So that's been really great. Some of my goals leading into this. So, like I said, I was diagnosed with CPTSD when I was 27 years old, ADHD, ADD. I've battled on and off with depression my entire life. I don't think, I mean, when you're kind of born into a depressed family, you're just kind of like, oh, this is normal. It hasn't really been until the last couple of years that I've been like, nah, your girl is depressed. And especially with the medical side of things, I've shared this story many times before, but I met with this, I on day 5 inpatient for my kidney auto transplant, I had Kyle wheel me down, go outside, get some fresh air, which was just exhaust fumes from people going by. It wasn't as magical as I thought it was going to be. But we went to the gift shop. I bought some little trinkets, some little tokens from that time. And I did meet a guy, and he came up to me and he goes, "You're a transplant patient, aren't you?" And I said, "Yep. How'd you know?" And he's like, I can just tell. And we had a really great conversation, but as we were leaving, he goes, "Don't underestimate the anxiety and depression that come after this life-saving surgery." And I was like, "Ah, da, da, yeah." I didn't brush him off. I said, "Oh my gosh, thank you for letting me know. That's so we got to look out for each other, you know." But in my head, I'm like, "Well, this is my kidney that was relocated. I'm not on immunosuppressants, things like that." So I thought, I might be able to skirt by just fine. No. 2 to 3 months later, I just went into this like pretty deep depressive dive. Got on some, for the first time in my life, some antidepressants, and they did help. I am very much, I have healed a lot of my relationship with Western medicine and understanding I take a very both and approach. I do a lot of Eastern. I go to acupuncture weekly. I do yoga. I get massages sometimes when needed weekly, but mainstay biweekly, twice a month for those that are like, what the fuck does biweekly mean? I understand it's confusing. So my goals, and I've been talking to my psychiatrist about this, and my primary care, is that I am on two forms of antidepressants, Wellbutrin and Lexapro. And 10 milligrams of Lexapro, 150 milligrams extended release Wellbutrin. My depression is more anxiety driven. I was also born into the world in a very anxious environment. So I definitely have the anxiety leaning depression. Again, I have CPTSD. My PTSD started going out of control during my or my medical fiasco. Going through Nutcracker syndrome and a transplant. So I am on a medication called prazosin, also known as the mini press. It might come up on people's charts that way. And you can take anywhere between 1 milligram to 5 milligrams. You start out with 1 milligram and then add a milligram. Like if that 1 milligram is not helping with your nightmares that you're having, so that's what prazosin is used for with PTSD patients, is having nightmares. And I was having like wake up gasping type nightmares. Not great. So I started out with 1 milligram, and we finally found my sweet spot at 3 milligrams, which was interesting because I was told in the beginning, like, oh yeah, you'll probably be good with 1 to 2. We see people like more, it's more the military combat people that are at the 3 to 5. And I got to 3, and they were like, oh, okay. Well, that's kind of a good way of knowing how severe this trauma that you've been through is. So that was really insightful for me. A lot of this journey has just been accepting the fact that the depth of trauma I've been through. I've always downplayed it. I'm a woman. We tend to downplay. In general, people downplay. Women do statistically tend to downplay pain and trauma a little bit more than men. Because we have a higher probability of doctors saying, oh, well, this is just, you're just crazy. This is just psychiatric. Go see a therapist, versus men are actually more likely to be seen and heard when it comes to something that does bother them. So I have the prazosin, and I'm also on a sleep medication. It's called Dayvigo, Dayvigo. And I am on, there's a 5 milligram option and a 10 milligram option. They also were like, oh yeah, you'll probably be 5 milligrams, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm on the 10 motherfucking milligrams of Dayvigo. I've always been a light sleeper, but I'm very much aware that that light sleeping is now tethered to my depression and anxiety, to my PTSD. So I'm on two different types of PTSD meds, which is the prazosin and the Dayvigo. The Dayvigo is a nice sleep medication because it's not Ambien. It's a middle of the road. It's in its infancy, so insurance, you might struggle with insurance to approve it. With that being said, they have, if you are prescribed this, they have a coupon online that you can get your prescriptions for $10 a month for a year. So that's what I'm doing right now. And then I am also on Vyvanse for my ADHD, ADD. So those are my five psychiatric meds that I am on, which is wild to think. I went from none to five. So my goal with my psych meds is this. I want to come, I would love, my ideal, let's like plan A, ideal, hit a home run, confetti and fireworks, is come off both my antidepressants, my Wellbutrin 150 XL, and my Lexapro 10 milligrams. However, I've been planning with my psychiatrist that plan B that I'll also be just so jazzed about is if I can just come off one of my antidepressants, which I'm hoping Wellbutrin will be it. So doing Wellbutrin, taking Wellbutrin off only on Lexapro 10 milligrams. And then coming off for my PTSD meds, staying on Dayvigo. So my plan A, again, going back to the confetti and the fireworks, would be to come off all my sleep meds, all my PTSD meds. So going off Dayvigo, going off Prazosin. However, speaking of my psychiatrist, plan B that I'll also be stoked with is to come off of my Prazosin fully. Plan C would be downing the dose of Prazosin. So, and staying on the Dayvigo, maybe moving from 10 milligrams of Dayvigo down to 5 milligrams of Dayvigo. We'll see. So, I'm very flexible with my goals. I do this with the clients I work with. So, I'm very aware that goals need to, there needs to be some flex in them because if I'm so fixed on like, I have to go off all my PTSD meds and all my antidepressants, and then I go through this journey and I don't, then I'm just gonna, I'm setting myself up for failure essentially. So those are my goals there. Looking at meds largely, so those, I have the five psych meds, but I'm also on testosterone, which from an endometriosis standpoint, it's my bread and butter on helping my testosterone pain and also like it advancing to just stay chill the fuck out. Okay. So testosterone, I went on a for a month or two, I had to go off my meds going into my hernia surgery, and then I didn't go back on them for a while after. And my endometriosis pain was just like out of control. And I actually found a 2024 publication and a couple others as well. So this is newer that testosterone is actually showing to be, so for people that don't respond well to progesterone, which is me, I hate progesterone. I've tried every kind, bioidentical, synthetic, all the shit. Doesn't work for me. I hate it. Testosterone is my bread and butter. So that's a, some of my mainstay medications that I don't have a goal to get off of is my testosterone, obviously my thyroid meds, levothyroxine and its counterpart, and Vyvanse. I would love to get to a place where those are the only three pills I'm taking, so I'm not doing the CPTSD or the depression medication. However, we're flexible with that. And I also was just had some lab work come back on some autoimmune stuff. We're not 100% dialed in on the autoimmune side of things. We think it's rheumatoid arthritis. I have been like slightly the testing is showing that it is rheumatoid arthritis. However, we're going to do, I'm waiting on an ultrasound. There could be a medication involved with that. So those mainstays, like the ones that I actually need for medical stuff, that's not related, sorry, mental health is in the medical space. That is not related to my mental health. Some of these things are mainstay and I'm okay with that. So I'm not looking to be like, I want to come off every other medication. So those are my goals. I am hoping moving forward that I thought recording this episode would be cool just to put down and record what my goals were to share with you what ketamine-assisted therapy is. I'm really optimistic. I'm really scared. My first session is this Friday. I am glad it is on a Friday because I do anticipate that it's going to take me out for a couple days. They did let me know that the first couple sessions would likely be that way, especially the first. I have done a little bit more research. I'm going to go in, I'm going to make sure I'm hydrated. I'm going to make sure I have food in my system. I am on the days I do ketamine therapy. Not that you're not allowed to take a stimulant such as Vyvanse, but I have spoken with them in that I am going to do take my depression meds, but I'm not going to do my Vyvanse on those days, and which is okay. And that way, with there's just less drug interactions. But that's also something if you get into this, speak to the clinic that you're going to, speak with your psychiatrist, the whole nine yards, and they'll be able to direct you on that path. My understanding too is that these 3 and 2 hour episodes, sessions aren't just me going and doing ketamine the entire time. The first session, I was told it's like the first hour you get acquainted with the psychiatrist you're going to be working with. Second hour, we'll actually do the ketamine-assisted therapy and then do some debrief after if it's needed. And then moving forward, it will be like come in, acquaint yourself with the psychiatrist, talk about how the sessions have been going, do the session, maybe a smidge of a debrief after. And so that was what I was told a lot of the, at least how the sessions are set up and why the first one's 3 hours, why this the others are 2 hours. It was also encouraged for me to have a therapist that I was also seeing during this time. I do have a therapist on standby. Her name's Barbara. I have decided to not necessarily schedule, like have scheduled appointments with her just yet. I am really confident in my coping resources that I have yoga, I have meditations. I've been in therapy for more than a decade, so I have been able to do really good jobs on working through things on my own. However, I'm also really good. I have had some instances where things have come up and I've been like, I need some help working through this. I don't even know where to start. And I'll email Barbara and we'll get on the schedule for like that week or the week, the next week, and we'll get through it. We'll be good. So I've decided I have massages scheduled at a massaging, acupuncture, yoga, my own meditation stuff. So I think we'll be good. I have my birthday's coming up next weekend as well. The weekend of my birthday's on the 25th. So we'll be having a party, and I just think having my friends around. So I have a lot of stuff in place, but that's something I also wanted to say is when you go into this, if you're thinking about it, you really need to create a container for at least that month of doing ketamine-assisted therapy. And let me go back. I don't want to say you really should, as if that can be shaming. Those are things to think about to create the container so that it can, if that's something that's going to support you. And I have done that for myself. Maybe some of you listening to this can just go and do it, and that is perfectly fine and gravy. I just wanted to make the point to say, hey, these are some things to think about that has been told to me of like, if you're going to do this, also. These sessions, while therapeutic, are not necessarily mental health therapy per se. Like, it's not, I do IFS, I do internal family systems. So, having a therapist already set up that you can process and try to integrate the information from these sessions, I'm not necessarily doing that. I have her on standby. I'm going to be using yoga, my oracle deck, my witchy ways, journaling, meditations. I have massages and acupuncture already set up. So I'm using a lot more Eastern modalities to help with integration. But I have let Barbara know, hey, I'm going to be going into this. Just want to double check that we're still good, that I can reach out whenever. So just remember that those are things that can increase the efficacy of the work that you're doing. Doesn't mean you have to do it, but that was definitely something that I was told. So I'm excited to start this journey. There's a little trepidation in my voice. I really am. I think I'm a nervous. The thing I'm nervous about is like, life's pretty good right now. What if I have this massive download and I'm like, I need to go and completely uproot everything. And I know in the moment it'll be fine and I'm going to follow my intuition and follow what my gut's telling me, but I'm like, my ego's a little bit like, oh my gosh, but we're kind of comfortable right now, you know? So but it'll be fine. I have experience with psychedelics. This isn't my first go around. I have microdosed shrooms before. I've seen the benefit in those from a mental health healing modality. I've done EMDR for PTSD work. I'm doing IFS more recently. Now we're going to ketamine therapy. So thank you for those that want to be on this ride with me, to be on this ride with me. I am looking forward to it. It's going to be good. It's going to be a ride, and I'm excited for this series, selfishly a little bit for me, so that I have some beautiful documentation to go back on and just be reminded of the journey. These episodes being a sort of techie journal for me, and also allowing you along on that ride, I think is really beautiful, and I hope my experience as grimy as it may get, and also as beautiful as it's going to get, is helpful for you in whatever way. So, thank you for being here. I'm sending you a big hug. You're obviously on this podcast for a reason, and I hate that for you. You know, I hate that you're here listening to information on the Nutcracker Syndrome because you've either been diagnosed, you know, somebody that's been diagnosed. Or you think this might be what you have. And I'm really sorry for that. And I hope you know that you're not alone. I have created this podcast specifically so that you know you're not alone and you at least have me as your virtual NCS bestie to help you navigate. So thank you for being here. I look forward to being on this journey with you to some extent. So big hugs to you as you transition into the rest of your day, maybe the next episodes. I hope you take a second to send gratitude to yourself for how hard you're advocating. I'm definitely very proud of you.